Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I am Ash Riot.
And we are Hologram.
Hologram.
Holo-gram.
Holo-gram. Hologram.
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 Holo. Hologram. Welcome, listeners. And we're hoping we have some new listeners. I did something different today, and I posted on like-minded Facebook pages. And so
yeah, that's cool.
Honoring women, honoring men, honoring people who want to understand.
Who love the world and want the world to be better than it is right now.
Yeah.
We're so synchronized.
Love. We're in sync, baby.
We're so synchronized.
And we're not even a girl band. Well, we are a girl band.
We're many.
We're not actually in sync.
Yeah, hey, that would suck. Not that NSYNC sucks, but imagine if we like started another band and instead of NSYNC, we'd call it like, you know, like
out of sync
or something like that. And yeah, we've been recording today. It was a really good day recording.
Yes.
We got this one song called Worlds Away, and we are really excited about finishing that. We made some pretty good progress today, and we're just recording on my little board. It's a Zoom studio board, and we're really excited about it, even though it's kind of old school now. I mean, even, oh yeah, shout out to my friend Connor.
Hey, Connor.
My other BFF, Connor Lawless. He has a really great band called Of Artistry, and him and I would, I used to teach him music, and we would use my Zoom studio board. Now he's doing so many awesome things, and he's actually going to show me the ropes of recording computerized.
With the computer. Pro Tools
yeah.
And stuff.
So I'm really excited about that. So until then, we're rocking the Zoom studio board.
We are rocking Zoom.
And it sounds great. Like,
we're old school, man.
I'm so excited to get the drums on the new song.
It's exciting. I mean, our artists, all of you out there who are artists, whether you're musicians or painters or sculptors or poets, the feeling of creating, you can't beat it. Now, personally, sometimes for me, creation can actually be painful.
Mm-hmm.
But when it really flows, it's like, it's better than any drug.
Yeah, it is. But when it's not, it's like coming down from the worst drug in the world. And now that we're sober and happy about that, you know, we've been sober for quite a long time.
Yeah, Ash actually just celebrated 3 years clean and sober. Yay. And I forgot to give you a shout out, I think. Did
oh,
I
that's
not?
Okay. And you,
well, mine was a while ago.
Well, yeah, yours is like 15 years.
But that was in February. But yeah. Yours was recent. Yours was June the 14th. So
yes.
Happy belated so birthday, Ash.
I'm celebrating with a snow cone. I have a snow cone maker.
Yes, and she's actually eating her snow cone right now as we speak. And today is June the 30th.
Yeah.
And our topic is a very short, two mm-hmm. words, three letters.
Yep.
What's it called?
I am. It's kind of a broad topic, but I like it.
Well, what the blurb says is, who am I? Where does the I stop and the we begin? Or is the I simply a tool that we have created for ourselves to experience the illusion of separation? And of course, as with every live show, when we're actually here, we can talk to you. We encourage you to call us and give us your viewpoints on what we're discussing. And the numbers are
888-627-00. No, I got it. Okay. Okay. Here it is. I tried to be really cool because, okay. 888-627-6008. Call in the number 888-627-6008. Call us anytime. And, you know, even if you're a first time listener and you have no idea what we're about or what the heck we talk about, that's good because anything goes.
That's right. We are fellow human beings.
Say anything you feel.
On this planet, this trippy planet. I'm proud of you that you memorized that, because we've been, how many, 2.5 years of doing this show?
I didn't memorize it.
We've been calling it. We've been asking Dawn, can you please send us the call-in numbers again? So I'm proud. I mean, you've beaten me there. Before we start into our actual topic, we're going to talk about our song, our latest single that we sent out to iTunes called I'm Back. And I apologize. It's between Ash and I. We thought that we were in the process of getting it okayed by iTunes, but what happened, in fact, is that they said we didn't upload the right files. So we've taken care of that today. So we speculate it shall be out on iTunes within the next 72 hours. But in the meantime, we're going to ask Dawn to play it for you, and you can listen to our latest single, I'm Back, available on iTunes in the next 3 days.
Folks, that is I'm Back, and like I said, it's our latest single. I'm really excited about it. We're really excited about it because it's the first one that we've really got to put out, I believe, isn't it? That it's completely solely done by us.
Just, yeah, Ash and I.
And my dad played drums, which is really fun. And we didn't record it anywhere. We record it completely on our own.
On the Zoom board.
And there's something to be said about things that are really raw. And, well, I love the talent of, like, really produced, you know, all those multi-million dollar albums or whatever. It's really nice to have that option. But I always come back to the stuff that's raw. That's why I'm like an early 90s head.
A 28-year-old early 90s head.
That was the best thing you've ever said. So, here we are, folks.
I think I've said better things.
Yeah, you have. Like, but nothing tops
nothing
mine.
Nothing tops what you said in one of our shows when we talked about love. And I'm sure that in the future, when people write your biography or autobiography or whatever, they're going to quote you on this one, Ash. And why don't you tell us again what your most amazing quote that you actually stated live on one of our shows was?
I really hope that someone quotes this on Facebook today. Like, whoever's watching this, please quote me on this on Facebook or Twitter. Here we go. There are many pipes in the sewer system of love. And I was so serious when I was saying it. And then after I said it, we just paused and went, what? But I was serious about it. I was thinking of the analogy in my head and it just came out. So there are many pipes in the sewer system of love. So please
make sure you quote properly.
Quote me on that.
And put Ash Riot behind it.
Yep.
She stands by it.
I do.
I guess you could consider love a sewer system depending on what side of it you're on. I mean, some people, listen, I was thinking as we're playing I'm Back, I'm listening to the lyrics. Now, I know what the lyrics mean. I mean, they're actually multi-layered.
Yeah.
And much multi-dimensional because I wrote them. But I think if someone doesn't know what was behind a lot of these lyrics, they probably would think that this woman is a bitter woman. And that's not what I was trying to convey at all. It's, we're talking about I am today. We're talking about who am I? I mean, Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. So he was relating to the fact that we each think, therefore that means that we are. But when we talk about the I versus the we, I think this is something that is crucial for each of us to recognize the connectedness of us to all things and all things to us. Because when we get too caught up in the separation and into the I think that it's a dangerous place to be because it's a place of isolation and it's a place of actually living in illusion,
mm-hmm.
thinking that you're completely separate. But this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to, share our viewpoints on what is I, who am I, and what you feel, how you feel you connect to yourself or to your environment or.
Well, a lot of people kind of, I find lately, like even, I mean, I have the advantage of being with a lot of people in a week because I either am teaching a lot of people in a week, you and I are DJing,
yeah,
or I'm talking to students, parents, or hang out with whoever, right? And I find that a lot of people really, really, really don't take enough responsibility in their environment and how much it shapes them. Because so much of the time, it just feels like we separate ourselves so much. And it saddens me that we're somehow resistant to seeing how much we're just like sponges and we can just soak up wherever we are, and it's, to me, that's really, really, really important because I paid attention to how I felt in an environment and I either dashed or if it was really conducive to who I was, I could see myself staying in a certain environment, in a certain friendship, in a certain relationship, whatever it is. It's important not to ignore who you are and seeing that in an environment.
With regards to what, reflecting against another person in a
relationship? Or even an environment. You could, even like when we're at different gigs and stuff, sometimes it feels absolutely horrible. And a lot of the times when it feels bad, when you're either in a place, in a relationship, just any environment.
Yeah, when you walk into a room, exactly. It just feels ew.
And when you can't find any of yourself in there or small pieces of yourself, that's when it's almost too uncomfortable, I find. When it's almost like you have nothing in common with somebody or their energy is completely different from yours. So it's important to find yourself in where you are, physically or in a friendship, mentally, yeah.
Spiritually.
The farther you even if you don't know much about yourself, you have to pay attention to the way you feel because that's how you're going to learn more.
Yeah, I always say that connect to your body.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what your body's doing, not just your thoughts.
Yeah.
In that respect. But I'm really interested in how we are actually linked and how we are actually connected. There's so many things that we cannot see with our eyes. We can't see radio waves. We can't see Gary Zukav talks about the soul being actually above and greater than the mass of the body. Mm-hmm. So we can't see that, you know, but we can feel the energy of a person. If we're in close proximity to somebody, we can feel really, really warm and wonderful, or we can feel really uncomfortable or kind of on edge, mm-hmm. depending on that auric field or the soul energy of the person who's near us.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, you know, entering a room when you have a collective soul energy. So this is what we're talking about, is where do I start, stop, begin,
or
end,
or
die?
Or where am I lost? Because even if you're in your body and you're totally close to yourself, you can really, really either... That's why it's important to be sober. Because even like drinking alcohol or being drunk, that completely fools yourself into thinking or feeling something different than you are.
It's an altered state, but you know, the same thing could be said about drinking caffeine or eating an excessive amount of sugar or anything, you know, that alters your chemistry, whether it's your brain
But booze or drugs is definitely a more...
Well, I relate because I've made it conscious decision to let go of drugs and alcohol personally because it was messing up my life for number one. But now I've decided to consistently do it because it actually interferes with my connection to all.
Yeah.
So it I am consciously aware of how drugs and alcohol impede my connection to not only source energy, which I call, you can call God or you can call infinite spirit or creator, but also even to my own highest self. And it's very constrictive. So this is why, and I also, when I'm working with psychic energy, I find that it does not help.
Well, it's almost as if it's just a huge barrier, and it's as if the psychic energy is just like laughing back at you going, can't get through. You're wasted.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, I've been in the music business for a lot of years and DJing with Ash now for over 3 and, you know, working as a top 40 act and did a lot of bars and clubs and whatnot for many, many years and dealing with drunkenness on a very regular basis. And, you know, just recently even, we did a gig, I did a gig and you joined me later, but there was this one gentleman who was just getting excessively, you know, drunker and drunker by the end of the night. He wasn't even remembering. He's requesting songs and he comes back within a minute
and says, belligerent.
And play that song. And we just did actually, and you danced. We watched you. And he goes, oh.
No, you didn't.
But he's, yeah. So, I mean, that to me is not connecting. He's not connecting to himself. He's not connecting to the I, and he's not connecting to me, to the we.
No.
So to me, I find I have very little patience or tolerance for drunkenness and people who are really high. And I mean, I've been there. I've been that pain in the ass drunken person. I've been that pain in the ass high person. And so I'm not, this isn't a judgment. This is just me being aware of what serves me. And also I do pay attention to what I do and don't like. And, you know, with regards to being in a work setting, you know, I'm not going to say anything, but I do definitely observe mm-hmm. and go, wow, you know, that's actually quite sad mm-hmm. to be in a place where you don't remember, where you don't connect, that you feel this sense of just disconnection.
Well, life is so incredibly short.
Yes.
And like as soon as you get to the other side or wherever we're going to go, let's just say that to all the
whatever
other beliefs,
you choose to call it, when you die,
this is just going to seem like the blink of an eye.
Well,
and
yeah.
I don't want to miss any of it. And that's what I've learned. Like, you know, I could be completely just as far from myself as I can just to cope with things or whatever. But why when, you know, I'm going to be, you know, thinking back, wondering what the heck I did and why I did it. And I'd rather just remember things. Memories are so powerful and it's... Yeah.
They are powerful, and memories can be powerful in a really great way where they can bring you a lot of joy in the remembrance of them, but they also can be quite destructive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think not all memory is great. I mean, many of us have lived through, you know, horrific things or had some harsh stuff happen, and those memories definitely are not pleasant. But the state of inebriation that causes us to disconnect from ourselves and from our even our own memories is not, you know, It's a coping mechanism in a way, but it's a way of just not even really truly existing. It's just kind of, you're just there. Exactly. It's kind of like going, if you were to take a graph and you have the center line and you got the ups and downs, well, it's the center line. It's the monotone. It's the,
Yeah.
And
when you're asking yourself the question of I am, it's not really easy to really say it if you're not really standing in who you are.
Well, we talk a lot about metaphysics, and if you look through our radio show programs or previous programs, you can see that a lot of what we talk about is very similar to what we're talking about tonight, but it really is, it's such a huge thing to talk about existence, to talk about what it means to be here, who are we, what do we do, how do we relate with one another, what do we do with the environment? Are we even connected to animals? Should we care about a tree? Because hologram, we always say, kiss a tree. Mm-hmm. And we go beyond tree hugging. We go to tree kissing and energetically, because we're just honoring the energy that is life.
Well, you were telling me something that one of your friends said, well, on the topic of animals, and that it's people, defend a lot of the time about eating meat and things like that, but it's just gotten so twisted over time. And you were telling me something about the animals, how in the olden days or in the Bible times or whatever times.
Yeah.
What was that again? Because that was really moving to me.
Well, I think we may even mention it maybe in the last show.
I don't remember.
And this was I remember it, and I'm trying to think. You kind of threw me off there. Perhaps, wait. Memory coming, Remy.
Yeah,
kicking in.
It was about the animals, how they used to give of themselves.
Well, what the context was is back in the days when there was animal sacrifices and whatnot pertaining to particular religious beliefs or connection to source and trying to obtain. I guess alchemy, getting into magical or not even magic, was a lot of it was religious and there was conditions. It was about appeasing, of connecting, wanting to be a part of source. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they did things a lot different, as we all know, a few thousand years ago. And one of the things that was told to me was that animals at that time, they were participants in that they actually would say or convey when it was all right to, okay, sure, you can use me for this or whatever. And when they didn't, they were actively involved in participation, whereas today they're not, because today animals don't have a choice. They're not able
they're
to say.
Factory farm.
Well, even the native Indians, like the Aboriginals, they're very respectful of animals in terms of even eating, like the salmon and the deer. And they actually have a connection with the animals that they believe that when an animal gives their life to them, when they hunt the animal and the animal gives their lives, that there is an understanding. The animal isn't actually fleeing and going, in fear and saying, I don't want this. The animal's actually saying, okay, we have an agreement.
It basically has a choice.
It has a choice. We have an agreement. I will sustain your tribe. I will sustain your family.
And
that
like,
is my agreement. And not, I am afraid. And why are you trying to, leave me alone? I want to live.
Well, and that's the difference, I think, because now it's like, every single animal is already completely abused and in fear because they're watching everyone around them be murdered. And I think that that's one of the worst things. I think that
because we have forgotten that we are part of something and the animals are part of it with us. And this is what I'm talking about with the I am and the we.
I was just going to say that.
So
ties
coming
in.
Back to the animals. Now, we have a lot of friends who are vegans, and we have a lot of friends who are vegetarians, and we are also getting into vegetarianism again.
Veganism.
And so we're kind of on the road to veganism, so by way of vegetarianism. And I understand now why. I understand that there's energy in everything we put into our body. And I certainly don't want to be putting an animal who's been placed in a cage where they can't move and they're petrified because they see their animal friends, disappearing. Mm-hmm. And they're not stupid. They know that something's going on. So
they have an I am
exactly
emotion too.
So there's that fear. Now, in a barnyard situation, and again, I'm not saying it's bad for those of you who are eating meat to everybody has to choose for themselves.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that I think that it's important for us to recognize the connection that we have to all things and all things that we eat. One of the things I used to say is that if I'm going to eat meat, I better be able to kill it. Because then that ultimately makes me a hypocrite. If I can eat a turkey, but I can't actually, in my mind,
think it through
that I'm going to take its life, then for me personally, I think that's a bit hypocritical because I don't like to kill things. I don't like it, but I have, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, my grandmother grew up in a farm with, you know, 8 children, and they slaughtered their cows that fed the family, and they slaughtered their chickens, and mm-hmm. I observed her, you know, knocking off the head of chickens, and that was dinner. Mm-hmm. And so this is, again, like, it's not about placing a judgment
on
any of this. It's just about recognizing and respecting the lives.
And the energy.
And the energy in that chicken and in that cow. And
that they're not just a number. It. They're not just like a number, or they're not just a meal. They're like, they have, just like we're not just a human being, we're energy. We can have the ability to learn things about ourselves and other people. And that's important.
You know, the thing that's been disturbing me is that one of the interests I used to have, and I still do have, is just the psychology of why people cause so much harm to each other, especially murder and rape and all sorts of horrific things. And so I've studied, I studied in university a bit too, but I still continue to have an interest in criminology. And one of the things that I was actually just yesterday, I was reading up on, because I was perplexed by this, I watched this show with my friend, and it was a show on a serial killer. And it was the Green River Killer, actually, in Washington. And I'm going, oh yeah, I remember back then. I remember hearing about it.
So you watched that with me.
Did I watch it with you? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I watched it the other day. I'm sorry. With someone else. So I'm incorrect, because I watched with him. I watched something else. But anyway, sorry I've mixed you guys up.
That's okay.
But anyway, so I was researching about it. And one of the things that there was a correlation with serial killers, and there were several things. There was a study done. And one of the things that correlated with majority of the serial killers was either having an abusive childhood, showing a propensity for abusing animals as children, and having pornography. Most of them have some kind of an addiction to pornography. But you know what piqued my interest was the abuse of animals, because there's that disconnect there. There's that, and it's about power and control. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's about feeling powerful, because serial killers don't feel powerful. They feel powerless. Mm-hmm. So they want to gain control over their environment. So mm-hmm. they have a disconnect between, you know, that sociopathy, that's psychopathy. That's the same thing. And that fascinates me too. So I'm kind of wondering, how can we have sociopaths and psychopaths, people who have no conscience in terms of remorse or no conscience in terms of empathy. So there is something going on there where they've disconnected from the weed.
It's weird. Like, I once dated a sociopath and they were so nuts.
I did too. seriously, yeah. I did. And I looked into it after, and like the definitions of sociopaths, and I go, oh my God, that was the relationship I was in. And
it's weird to watch. Yeah,
I know. It's
so weird to watch them operate, because you're going, this does not make sense. Who are you? Back to the show topic. I know who I am. Right?
But I mean, that's the whole thing, is that we really are only in charge of ourselves individually. Now, we circle around, like gather around ourselves people that we feel comfortable with, and we bring them in as friends, as lovers, mm-hmm. as, you know, husbands and wives. And, you know, I think it's imperative for the state of this planet to thrive and to go on in transitioning from this darkness, where we actually have people that have disconnected so much that they will rape, they will murder, they will abuse children, they will mutilate and harm animals. All of these things in my mind are absolutely unacceptable in terms of a world peaceful and world love space. Because they're not loving, they're not peaceful, energies, those types of behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so when we separate ourselves too much, another thing is we're all from different generations. We've got the baby boomers, the Gen X's, the Gen Y's, and now the Gen Z's. Now, the Gen Y's, which is the generation that you're from, okay. Ash, are known as the entitlement generation. And the entitlement generation are those who feel, I guess because, again, technologically there was way more advancement, also more immersement into technology, mm-hmm. A lot of video gaming, a lot of, now with the...
I will never stop playing Tony Hawk.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's something that has happened. There's studies done, and they're, generation of young people that are feeling entitled because there's been so much that have been at their beck and call that they don't have a sense of, say, like the baby boomers who mm-hmm. were working their butts off, going to war and staying mm-hmm. behind and looking after farms and looking after communities and whatnot. Yeah. Just different generations, different things that are surrounding them in the environment. Now, I think it's interesting if we are, we have a generation of people who feel entitled, and I think that we can all cross over. I'm not saying that this is just one a generation. We can have baby boomers and Gen X's who cross over into a, entitlement because we're quite affluent here in North America, and we can, feel quite entitled to having our BMWs and our mansions or our, six-figure incomes, whatever it is. But the entitlement does not go together with the we. Mm-hmm. It's a separation and it's an I. And this is what I'm talking about. I'm asking you out there what you feel or how you feel you connect in terms of yourself to yourself or yourself to your environment.
And how important is it to connect to yourself?
Exactly. I mean, you have to definitely connect to yourself.
I think it's really important.
But it has to be a healthy connection instead of a psychopath.
Sociopathic. or a weird
one. Which is a mental illness.
Well, we're going to have a word from our sponsors now. And Dawn, let her rip.
And then we'll continue.
In the field of balanced intuitive healing and information, Cheryl Catherine Smith is one of a kind. Not only is she a musician, licensed spiritual minister, and co-host of the radio show Hologram Radio on BBS Radio, but she is also a sought-out and skilled intuitive medium and spiritual counselor. She takes you beyond the scope of space and time into firmly believing not only in yourself, but also the firm knowing in the continuation of life. There is no death, there is nothing to fear, and we are not alone. With years of experience in healing, health, ministry, and metaphysics, rest assured your time together will be everything you hoped. Half hour or full hour readings available by phone, email, or Skype. Email for info and bookings, Cheryl_CatherineSmith@hotmail.com.
That's our sponsor. That was shameless self-promotion.
That was an awesome
one. We sponsor ourselves.
And it's so cool because I love it. And we have one more. We have another recording for a really awesome sponsor.
Yeah, for later, for our other really great sponsor.
And it's so awesome because Cheryl has the best voice for doing commercial spots or anything that have ever had, seriously.
Well, you're kind. That wasn't me, by the way.
That wasn't her.
No.
But it was it's so awesome because she's just like, yeah. Like, she has the enthusiasm and pep to be on, 99.3 or something.
I have pep.
She has pep.
I've never pep, really, baby.
I don't think I've ever said that to anyone.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that to anyone. I also heard you say conducive during this show, and I'm going, who the heck have you been hanging around?
Well, I have friends who use big words, so I learned some things. And, yeah, if anybody wants to call in, like I said, just get the nerve to call us.
Talk about who are you?
Yeah, it's important.
What makes you you?
It should give you pride to talk about yourself. 888-627-6008. Just do
give
it.
Give us a call. Yeah. And I was also wanting to mention, I was talking to another friend of mine. He's a musician. And he was saying that he felt that we're talking about this topic. And his suggestion, because I was saying, I've been thinking about, so many of us think that who we are is what we do or how much money we make or who we know. And none of that is, in fact, true. Who we are is is I am. Who we are is authentically inside. It's just who we are intrinsically, the soul, the, you know, what makes us, what is that speck of life which is in each and every one of us. And even the body changes, because life is about change. It's perpetual, right? And even so I was thinking, well, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, let's just focus on who we are, because who we are is so, it's vital that we are each individuals and we can express, because we are creators. But I think it's all equally vital that we understand our connection to everything else around us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's just really just about respect. And yeah, because he was talking about confidence. He was saying how, you know, what's confidence? He was saying, yeah, talk about confidence and you know, the pros and cons of confidence. And I said to him, I said, you know, I don't think there's any cons to confidence. I think there's cons to ego. When ego gets a little inflated, then it becomes icky feeling, you know.
Yeah.
But when true confidence, when someone is confident in who they are,
yeah,
that feels great.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know, that's definitely pro. So kudos to him for discussing this topic with me. So I want to give a shout out to my friend Ray. I also wanted to bring Gospel According to Mary Magdalene, because we on our blurb talked about a quote from the Bible that is given to Jesus Christ, and it's a quote from John. But I wanted to talk about Gospel According to Mary Magdalene, chapter 4, verses 22 to 23. Now, this is a gospel that was discovered and was never placed within the biblical content. Am I hot?
Yeah, you look really warm.
It's warm,
just
man.
It looks like you have a rash on your face.
It's because I'm hot. I really am. I'm just warm.
I'm hot, too.
What a warm day. But we're pretty cozy here in air conditioning.
And not to mention, I'm going to interrupt you one more time to tell everyone that Cheryl has the best hair. Done by Pierce at Wild Child. She's got purpley-pink like streaks in her hair now. It looks awesome.
I have the best hair, man. Thank you, Ash.
You're welcome. Now, back to
the
gospel.
Next time we're going to have video. All right.
No, we're not. I'm covered in hair from the dog, and I look so weird.
No, you don't. You look like you got these really funky glasses on. You got a great haircut from Pierce, too.
Yes.
So you're happening.
Yeah.
Dog hair and all. Now, chapter 4, 22 to 23, Gospel According to Mary Magdalene states this. The Savior said, all nature, all formations, all creatures exist in and with one another, and they will be resolved again into their own roots. For the nature of matter is resolved into the roots of its own nature alone.
I like that.
Isn't that cool?
I think it's nice.
It's very, very on topic.
It's real.
It's saying that I am is everything, all nature, all formations, all creatures, because we're creatures, exist in and with one another, and they will be resolved again into their own roots.
Wow.
So there you are. There's the ultimate matrix.
I like that.
We are in the matrix, baby.
That is very interesting. You know what? You gave me actually a box set of The Matrix years ago.
I know, because I told you it was one of the best movies I've
and
ever
I
seen.
And I watched it, but I fell asleep during every one of them.
Explaining the metaphysics. Another really great movie. I'm going to just tell everybody to look up. It's old. I don't even think it was a top movie. But if you want to know what how we live interdimensionally, like so succinctly said and shown in film, is The Others with Nicole Kidman. Check that one out, because that is marvelous. When you talk about the other side and you talk about the multi, like how death, there is no death. And I'm actually in a quest to change the word death to transformation.
I think that's good.
You know, when I die, and some, you know, journals or whatnot, medical journals will be taking out the word death, and they'll be putting in the word transformation or transformed.
Can you think of how different
they transform
our world would be if we were like, oh, I'm just so afraid of transformation. Like, no one's
exactly
going to say that. And no one's going to say, it's like, you know what? When I transform, I'm so scared of transforming. Oh, no. Oh, look at all these people. He shot that guy and he transformed. Like, I think it's a much more, not just delicate, but accurate way of saying that we're moving on. Anyway.
Okay, you know what? We did something that we're really, really happy to present to you. We got somebody really special on line one, and we created something.
Who is it?
Who is it?
It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom.
Where?
It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom.
Where?
It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom.
There we go, folks. It's Ash's mom, Janice, on line one.
Hi, Janice.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're great. You're calling us from Deming, Washington, correct?
Yes, I am. I'm a world traveler, you know.
Well, you're calling from our neighboring sister country there.
We have done shows from Deming, Washington before. We've done shows from Aberdeen. We've done shows from Seattle.
That's right. And now we're doing a show from Surrey. So, Ash,
yes,
mom,
you are.
What do you have to tell us about I Am
today?
Well,
okay, I thought about this, and I think I Am, well, in me, in my circumstances, is you're a product of your environment. You're a product of your experiences, your hurts. The love you feel, the relationships you've had, the parenting that you've had as a child, the family that you've had in your life, and that what makes you who you are. And if you're lucky, if you're really lucky, then you do. You have a lot of love in your life, and you know, as a child, you're nurtured and you're given things that's important to nurture the mind and the body. And that's what I think, you know, when in my situation I was so lucky to have the parenting I had, because my grandparents raised me and my dad was kind of, you know, there but not. And they raised 9 children and I was the 10th. So I became the last one, so I was spoiled with a lot of affection. I had aunts and uncles and cousins that would come over every Sunday, and we'd have Sunday dinners, and so I got the sense of family from that, and how important family is, and how important it is to show love, and to have a family unit, and to treasure that family unit, and how to keep things circulating in the family unit, and how to keep it fresh, and how to work out life's problems, how to help one another. And I think that makes you who you are when you're raised that way. Like I was raised to be patient. I was raised to help my cousins, and I'd listen to my aunts. You know, there was never any fighting in my family. It was always people got along, and if someone was troubled, everybody rallied around them and helped them and supported them, and then that goes into the cousins. And here in Deming, that's what we're doing. Is, you know, a few cousins of mine, they also have places in the resort where I'm at, where we have a place as well, and you know, that's what we do. And my cousin Ron and I were talking last night, and we've never, ever had a fight in our family. Like, you know, we have disagreements and stuff, but you talk about it and it's done. But that's what we learned from our families. And, like, we weren't perfect. Everybody had their problems. There was problems in marriages. There was problems in this and that. But one thing, we always stuck up for each other. And we always loved one another unconditionally. And that goes into us, because all my aunts and uncles are gone. My dad is gone. He was the last one. He died, you know, a year ago, December, so he was the last one. Now it's passed on to us cousins. And we're trying to raise, and we have successfully raised our children to feel the same way, to be compassionate, loving people. And that's who makes you who you are. That's who I am. So
that's,
how's
really
that?
Cool. Well, you have done a really great job, because, I mean, I certainly think that family is the most important thing ever. And without that, I mean, it's easy to criticize your family or say you're this or that or this person's annoying me. But at the end of the day, when that annoyance is gone.
I have that this weekend. Yes.
That's so funny.
And I can say that because I know they're not listening.
Well, that's ha-ha, but maybe not for us. They're not listening.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You know, it's. I mean, you work things out. You don't fight. You hurt each other. I mean, you hurt each other and your immediate family, you know, and I think you grow from it and you learn from it, right? You know,
well,
like it hasn't always been perfect. And
yeah, well, it's amazing that you say you have never had fights, because that's not my growing up experience. We had many. The way our family dealt with things is we had many fights, and then if we weren't fighting, a lot of the family members were just silent, and you knew it was the same kind of thing. So that's great that you had. It seems like such a loving family.
We did. And like even I was listening to my aunt's talk one day, and this is when Auntie Mary was still alive. She was the one I was closest to, her and Auntie Doreen. And listening to her talk and say, we never fought. She says, we never once, and my grandmother had 9 children, 6 girls and 3 boys. And she says, you know, all through our life, we never said, oh, she's stupid. She doesn't know what she's talking about, or she's this or she's that. Auntie Mary says, never. She says they had disagreements, and, you know, they aired those disagreements between them. But it was because it was brought in the forefront right away and worked out. You didn't have time to build up animosity or grudges because you dealt with it right away. And you dealt with it one-on-one. You didn't get everybody else involved. And they did it tactfully, and that's something, you know, that I learned this weekend, too. You if you deal with it and you don't turn it into a war, and you just let it be known, you know, that you're hurt. And they realize that they hurt you, and then you move on. So, I don't know. It's a second generation, and then there'll be a third generation, you know, of people.
Exactly.
You know, that are, you know, so
well,
that's basically what it is.
Thank you for calling in, and I hope you like your new song.
I love my new song. I love it. I heard it before. I just, you know what, let's put it on the CD, okay?
Yeah, let's sell it for 99 cents on iTunes.
Yeah, it can be our hidden track, Janice.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
okay.
We love you
very
much.
And you know something else, you guys?
For sharing about your
okay,
your,
you guys, I love you. And
enjoy
we'll
your
see
time
you tomorrow.
With your wonderful family.
We love you.
Oh, you're part of it, Cheryl.
Thank you, Janice. I feel part of it. Thank you.
Okay. Love you guys.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
I think that's wonderful that your mom is so connected to her family and continues to be connected to her family. And I have a different family. We're not as connected, but you know, love is still there. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that she mentioned, which I thought was really great, is deal with it one-on-one, and that they don't name calling. And when I was saying that my family fought, it wasn't about name calling. It's just about arguments, and we're, you know, we could get loud. So that's our family. But yeah, as soon as you get into the name calling and whatnot, that's abusive, and that's not, obviously it's not loving, it's not kind. Now, it's not that none of us, you know, that we're all angels and we haven't, you know, gone there at some point when we've been really hurt, but I don't know, it's just not.
You know what I just noticed?
What?
You're wearing an authentic 1992 Made Nirvana shirt.
I am wearing a 1992. It is authentic, isn't
it?
I'm wearing a very old Nirvana Splatface t-shirt right now.
And it's really awesome.
It's cool. Goes with my purple hair.
Yeah.
Another thing that I wanted to mention is I am, in the context of what your mom was sharing, it's important that who we are closest to honor who we are.
Yeah.
And that's love. you know, when you're in a relationship with someone, if it's your friends or your family, and they really dig you because they're honoring who you are, they're not trying to make you into who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may be different, but they like that. And that's another thing I think is so important for each of us, you know, to focus on honoring our relationships, honoring the people that are close to us, enjoying who they are, who the I am is for them.
Exactly. I think that's great. And I'm happy that my mom called and everything. And we're going to get to a tweet, I think,
yeah,
in a minute. But we just want to give you the last word from one of our fantastic sponsors.
Girl Grooves, your Greater Vancouver and Whistler, BC area's premier female DJ duo. Let professional musicians and DJs Ash Ryan and Cheryl Catherine Smith bring their combined skills and musical expertise to your corporate, wedding, graduation, reunion, birthday party, anniversary, or any special occasion to ensure your event's complete success. Many have raved about their unique and fun-filled Name That Tune show, too. Log on to www.girlgroups.com for more information on how Girl Grooves can help you make some marvelous memories. Girl Grooves, music really is their lives.
That's right, folks. Music is Girl Grooves' lives, and so is Woo-hoo! Living. Woohoo! We have a tweet.
Yeah, we actually heard from a few people today about the show.
And what do you want to share?
No. Oh, what?
Come back to the show, Ash. So easily distracted.
I was trying to look. One of my friends
Here's a really good example of Rabbit. And this is something I want to tell you, Bob. I know you're listening. And I can tell you much easier, much faster on the radio show here. Ash is a little bit of a rabbit girl. And what I mean by that is
I don't even know what you mean.
I'm just going to explain it.
Oh.
So when someone is in conversation with you, or you're both in, you know, intensely involved in something, and you're really thinking you're both on board and you're equally energized, you're equally into it, next thing you know, your partner is looking and pointing and go, rabbit, and they're not even with you anymore. That's the rabbit
I was
content.
Looking at my stomach because so my friend wrote all over it with permanent marker one day, and I was just trying to see if I could still see the palm tree, okay?
So her rabbit today was her stomach. So maybe that, yeah, that's rabbit. Rabbit! That's what I mean when I say rabbit, that you've lost your attention span. You've gone off into another dimension.
Yeah, I know.
There you go. It's called the dimension of the stomach. Then, okay, we got a couple minutes. We want to talk about this tweet we got from Woody's alter ego, at Freaking Annoyed. And he says, I can only take the realization of who I am once a day, which is why I avoid taking naps.
Thank you for that. I will quote you on my Facebook.
Maybe we'll do a book of quotes, and we're going to put Sewer Systems of Love and this particular quote by Bob. Thank you.
And you know what? This topic, we could, with just less than an hour, there's no way we could even get into this a little bit. But if you guys have any ideas for a show or anything you want us to talk about, tweet us, email us, talk to us. hollow-gram@outlook.com. Email us. Look for I'm Back on iTunes in the next couple days.
And I also just wanted to mention in closing, just celebrate who you are. Celebrate who everyone else is around you. If you don't like them, then just don't hang around them.
That's pretty easy if you don't
but
like someone.
Send them love nonetheless.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's be love. Okay, thanks for listening to our show. We are Hologram.
Yeah, don't shoot them.
Don't shoot them is what Don says. That's right. Don't shoot them. Send them love. You just don't have to hang around them. We love you. Bye.
Bye.